This week on Barbell Shrugged, we interview the two most diesel dudes in the NPFL, Danny Nichols and Sam Dancer.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe here with Chris Moore and CTP behind the camera. We're in Las Vegas at the NPFL Combine. We are joined by two of the strongest men in the NPFL and probably CrossFit as well. We have Danny Nichols. So what's up?
What's
and
up, guys?
And we have Sammy D, as you call him.
Sammy D.
Sam Dancer. Also, both these guys are, if you follow them on Instagram or follow them on YouTube or wherever, I've been seeing these guys lift big weights and do things like crush King Kong for a long time.
I haven't done King Kong in a while.
You haven't done it?
Oh, we got to go ahead.
It's been
a
while since you've done it. But I saw it. That was like one of the first videos I ever saw of you. You did King Kong. I was like, what'd that guy like fucking crushed King Kong.
Is that a competition? I think it's 150. But I go sub 130.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, before we go any further, make sure to go to barbellshrugged.com for the newsletter. All right, now that was all of our commercials. That was it.
All right.
All right, now we can move on to the meat and potatoes. All right, so Danny, you're out of the OPT camp.
Yes, sir.
Correct?
Yes, OPT.
So you've been following OPT for years. You're signed with the Phoenix Rise.
Yes.
Out of Phoenix.
Phoenix, baby.
Go Phoenix.
In Scottsdale, out of Phoenix, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Sam, you, do I know this right? You're conjugate? You do like conjugate method?
Yeah.
That's how you got so fucking strong?
Officially on team conjugate.
Or were you just like super fucking strong and then that's kind of how you train now?
I played collegiate football.
Uh-huh.
I was pretty stupid strong in college, but I didn't really know it as being really unproportionate at the time.
You didn't realize how strong you were compared to other people?
Well,
you just thought you were normal?
I knew I had...
everybody jacked as fuck?
I knew I had strengths, and then I got to conjugate and realized, like, I didn't have an ass or hamstrings.
Oh.
Was it the typical, you bench a lot, you fucking do a little bit leg pressing or whatever, but that was your extended
like
training?
I had a great anterior just with sprinting and football. So just being on my toes, that was something that was really, really easy for me. And yeah. I built up a lot of volume in the past, 12 years of playing ball. So just basically getting the conjugate, working on my back. Working on my glutes, my hamstrings, and like when I got there, a glute ham raise almost fell on my face.
Or yeah,
like
pretty common, right?
Reverse hyper. I think I was shot for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's like you were ripe for that kind of training because one, you needed some things to be brought up, so weakness targeting was fucking perfect for you. But it also had this huge background of training.
Yeah.
You did put a lot of reps in, a lot of work, so you weren't just jumping into that style of training right off the bat.
No, and I had a conjugate style system in college. Never really took the time to understand it for what it really was. So I had a good background, and I had a good foundation to build on top of that allowed me to kind of jump. Cause I've only been doing CrossFit for about a year and a half, 2 years almost.
Jesus.
I had a
lot more monstrous things to accomplish.
Had a real good foundation, like jumping into it, just trying to continue to, I don't know, just become a more skilled athlete. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this balance of, like, the NPFL and CrossFit. Like, do I start to specialize so I can just, like, we can just slay
just
in
be
the NPFL?
Powerful motherfucker.
I would like to see you. I want to see a slay more.
I want to see
you.
I want,
great for the fans.
We were talking about this with another guest earlier. I see, like, 10% of the people competing in NPFL also having the domains necessary to compete at the CrossFit Games level and probably vice versa. But I think you're going to start seeing a bigger spread as time goes on, and guys like you are going to flourish in the NPFL just because you're so powerful. Probably, it looks to me like you're both very powerful, and when it gets down
Captain,
to like
Captain Obvious
60-minute wads, you probably don't fare as well as a smaller
guy. Well, keep
guy.
In mind, too, though, like we come from a CrossFit background. So we've been doing this inclusive training. So like I wouldn't sell me or Danny out really to say that like we couldn't be great CrossFitters. Like I think we would have that potential to be great CrossFitters. But I definitely think that this NPFL thing is going to suit us really, really well.
Yeah. Not that you couldn't be good CrossFitters, but like this is much easier for you to be great at.
Yeah, it's too hard to be good at CrossFit. There's too much volume. Like this, we can
play your strengths, man. Fuck
it's
that
more
shit.
Fun, you know, that the volume's lower. It's going to be better on the body, and I feel like we're going to do.
There you go.
We're going to be better at where we're good at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I mentioned that you were Phoenix Rise, Danny, and Sam. You're with San Francisco Fire, but you've been living in Ohio.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
So are you going to move to San Francisco?
Totally.
Okay.
Yep. Fuck yeah.
So have you moved there yet, or
no.
What's the status there?
Me and my wife, we're on a games team together.
And you guys fucking crushed it, by the way.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
Yeah. We were there.
Like, I don't think it was it wasn't much of a competition, really, was it?
Dude, it was a lot of fun. It was really exciting. But we're gonna head out to the games, and then we're fairly recently wed. Our 1 year was about
congrats,
a week ago.
Man.
Thanks, dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
So after the games, we're gonna spend about 7 days to ourselves, and then that'll land us on like August 4th, which is when, like, we all report for like our physicals and such. Yeah. So then it's gonna be
legit. It's like the start of football season or something, and the first of its kind. It's gonna be fantastic. I can't fucking wait for it to kick off,
dude. The more and more like it really starts to get real when you hear Tony talk about it.
Yeah.
But like, just my wife called me last night, and she's like, "Dude, I was watching it live stream." She's like, "It's gonna be real. This is a real deal. Like, it's gonna be huge."
Yeah. It's real and different in a very positive way. Like, we got to talking about how this compares to, you know, CrossFit or whatever. It's like, it's very distinct. It's gonna be very new. It's gonna trigger a lot of different approaches to training. You got cool little radically different things that aren't the same at all. Like a coach screaming at your ass on the sideline. I saw that yesterday. That was the most cool moment I saw. Was a coach got up in somebody's face like, "Fuck, man, come on.
It reminds
I said
me
do
of
this." It's just like football.
Not only that, the camera caught that action. The camera caught that interaction. And watching it on the Jumbotron or in one of the rooms back here, it looks like, I mean, not only is it actually happening on the grid here, but, you know, the person at home is experiencing the intensity as well.
And that person at home might not know shit about CrossFit, even as popular as that is. They're going to be totally isolated from all this, and they're going to see a big, awesome rig, color, awesome, fast-paced action. They go, "Maybe I should go to my local box and fucking do some weights."
You don't have to know much about anything to be attracted to this.
It's going
to
be good for everybody. That's what I think.
Yeah, and it's intense, and it moves fast. You know, if you blink, you might miss something.
Yeah, it is
really
fast.
Really exciting.
Yeah,
really,
but
really exciting.
Even if you blink and do miss something, you look up on the screen and they've got the numbers counting, and you can tell who's ahead and who might not be ahead and things like that.
It's crazy how on top of it they are.
Dude, it was so much fun. I was watching yesterday during one of the exhibition matches, and they were going, and I was watching them, and I'm like, and I got a little confused about who might be ahead, and all I did was look over the screen.
Oh.
And I was like, "Oh, okay, I got it now." It was like, you know, it only took a moment to be caught up with what was going on, you know, just from that that visual representation up there.
Yeah, definitely. You get caught up in an exciting moment on one side, and then you forget where you're at. But looking back up at the screen definitely put you back on track.
Danny, what's your background? I mean, we talked to Sam. Sam's got football and kind of gravitated towards CrossFit after that. How about you?
Yeah, I did some football growing up. I played football in college, and I always did Olympic weightlifting. My friend Yash Fay was my coach.
Oh, wow.
And he trained me with that, and I always wanted to be better at football, so I want to be more explosive with Olympic weightlifting, and I did that. Went to college, played football, tried out for the NFL, and it didn't work out. And came back, did a bodybuilding competition.
You probably thought you're shocked.
I saw that photo.
Yeah, it's
you look
a good.
Good.
Photo. Yeah, it's a good photo, but it just wasn't for me. You know, the diet, the lifestyle is like, this isn't for me. I can't do it.
Was that a benefit to you though? That background, that experience.
Yeah, you're definitely.
Some muscle mass is helping you now.
Definitely is an experience. You know, in dieting hard and just...
And most CrossFitters don't know what it's like to actually diet hard.
Me and Danny got to talking, and we both have, like, really similar stories. Like, we did the football thing. We're like, "Oh, shit. Like,
this is not working anymore.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
We're so competitive. It's like, what's next? What could we do next?"
And then
done.
He did bodybuilding. I did, a physique show. And then, so like you could.
Did you wear the board shorts or were you in trunks?
The skinny mini, right? Yeah.
You know what though? Even though I'm not one to make fun of physique athletes, you know, because I have a lot of respect for bodybuilders. But if you're wearing board shorts,
I wore the.
I don't know. They did that with physique challenges.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I lost like 70 pounds. So I played football. Like, were you? You were like 270, weren't you?
No, I got up to 270 when I took time off.
What do you weigh now?
245.
Jesus.
To give you some perspective, Chris Moore is 270.
Yeah, about.
Right
yeah.
now. Yeah.
Yeah.
At my heaviest, I was probably not as well built as you at 270, but I got the 370. I know how it is.
Oh, 370.
Yeah, like my powerlifting days. Yeah, I did. Yeah. I know all the guys in Ohio. I competed and trained with the guys at Westside for a long time and did that whole thing. It was a great experience. Yeah, man. But so you probably thought when you got through with your run at football, like took a shot at the NFL, well, maybe my shot at being a competitive athlete, like, or professional athlete's gone.
Yeah, you know, I was like, this is done. And then I was lost. You know, all my friends that I went to school with were in a trade or had a great job, and all I did was I had a good body. And I was like, well, what am I going to do with this body now?
Yeah. Nope, no brains.
No.
No brains, just brawn.
Yeah.
What am I going
to
do?
All body. I was like, okay. Well, I have to do something with this body. So I did that bodybuilding thing, and I was like.
You've been great, like in a fucking Roman legion or something. Yeah. Crush heads.
I know. I was like, what am I going to do? I got to figure this out, you know? And then I moved home, and I went back.
Where was home?
I'm from San Rafael, California.
Okay.
Bay Area.
Yeah.
So I moved back home. I was in LA at the time when I did the bodybuilding thing. Moved back to the Bay Area, and I was like, "All right, now what?" You know. So I tried the, I tried some football, semi-pro football, and you had to pay to play, and people were getting injured out there, and I was like, you know, it's not fun. It's
what league
fun.
Was that?
It's fun.
What league were you trying to go up? It was a local thing or
yeah,
arena
so
football?
It was a local thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and it was
dangerous.
It was not put together. I was like, this isn't for me. And then I got back into Olympic weightlifting with my friend Yasha, and he was training at a TJ's gym in San Rafael, and that's where I started doing some CrossFit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then it just, you know, I went to met Marcus Philly there. You know, and he's been doing it for a while, and we had a team, went to the games and had some fun. And then I was like, I wanna try to go individual. And James Fitzgerald invited me out to OPT in Scottsdale. And I was like, didn't think twice. I moved out and
were you the biggest athlete he had up to that point for CrossFit? I mean,
I think I'm the biggest
size wise.
I think I'm just the biggest.
Yeah, I mean like he must look at you like, what kind of experiments can I do?
So I am the biggest.
So you guys, I heard you guys were up till 8 a.m.
He tried to reel me
in. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, we were up. It was
like a party.
So
animals,
yeah, you didn't have anything to do today. You guys did an exhibition match yesterday.
Yeah.
And then
so
you didn't have anything to do today. But the combine,
we have
you guys
stuff
don't.
To do,
you guys so, yeah. don't participate we in the combine. To. Y'all were here just to put on a show, and you guys did a fantastic job yesterday.
Yeah.
Could you guys like take off your shirts like you did yesterday? During the exhibition match,
you know,
how he took mine off?
The
jump
there's
start.
A special technique. First, you gotta wring the sweat out so it doesn't stick, and then just peel it off.
Pop it off.
Oh yeah.
So we got
special
not,
technique.
I'm not
for
your
sure.
first.
I mean, yeah.
Bro, I thought that was our moment.
I
man.
Thought of it on the spot, to be honest with you.
That could be your move, like your and WWE then, style move. You fucking score a touchdown here on the grid and you rip that shit off and the crowd goes wild, man.
Yeah. And then I was going to throw it into the crowd, but I was like, man, if this is his only,
shirt, only
shirt, then what? Then what? Because he's not going to be able to get it back.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to, I mean, who knows who'd get that thing? Frame that puppy.
Hey, you guys have a little bit of a bromance.
That's
going
Sammy
on.
D over there. Yeah.
It was immediate.
Yeah.
It was like,
you guys just connected.
Yeah. And it was dangerous. Sam said, he's like, man, he's like, I could see this being dangerous. We should probably only hang out on the grid. let's see how the grid goes, and then we'll talk about that after. You know? Yeah.
It sounds like y'all just went on, like, the first date.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's been good.
Dude, it was so funny out on the grid.
It's
a
good thing you're not
them.
On the same team. That might be the real danger if you're on the same team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That'd be bad.
We'd probably, like, fight a little bit because we were out there, like, during the front squats.
Yeah.
And he got to go first.
And y'all were on the same team.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was jumping around. Like, he could tell I was looking at him. I was like, give me...
No,
I was doing
the squats.
I'm strong too. I want to lift.
I was doing the squats, and Sam was over there. I was like, oh yeah. It's like the dog like, wanted the bone. You know, I was like, all right, give the dog the bone. He's like, coach, what do I do? What do I do? Yeah, give the dog the bone, right? He's getting antsy. It was
as
good
soon as
though.
Someone goes, man, that Sam guy, he's strong. Fuck that shit. Give me the bar.
Yeah. It was good.
So you guys, since you only had that to do, by the way, the exhibition match yesterday was East Coast versus. East Coast versus West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
West Coast lost.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did that happen? Right, hang on. I'm going to loosen up your tongues first, okay? Our friends at FitAid brought us a treat.
Oh.
At your request, actually. Oh. You had requested something a couple hours ago.
Yeah.
And so we made it happen.
Yes, okay.
Oh, we have it.
Oh. Oh, Sammy
oh,
D.
Oh, snap.
Sammy D, baby.
Thank you, Fit Aid.
Yes, thank you, Fit Aid. The
old Jack Diesel.
Since you guys had a late night last night, this Party Aid will help you recover.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Drink
yeah.
a little bit off the top, right?
What, and then here's your bottle of Jack. So you guys can just finish that off.
Oh, yeah.
While we podcast.
We definitely have to share.
Here, I'll load it up for you.
I'm going to try this here.
Bartender Chris is going to get the party started. Here, drink it. Drink each down a little bit, and I'll pour you some.
We're going to take a break real quick while we get this bottle
that's
open.
Delicious.
And then we'll come back with the results and why you think you guys got your asses kicked.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, because we were having too much fun. That's why.
This is Andrea Eger, and you're listening to Barbell Shrug. For the video version, go to barbellshrug.com.
Barbell Shrug is brought to you by you. To learn more about how you can support the show, go to barbellshrug.com and sign up for the newsletter.
Oh, man. All right. CTP missed a good shot. I'm going to have to ask you guys to repeat.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Here we go.
Are we ready?
Sure, it's the cheers.
Party AIDS. Up. Oh, and down.
Oh, yeah. This is delicious.
It is good.
Party Aid, baby.
Yeah.
It says that?
Yeah, it's
it says Party Aid.
Party Aid is popular. It's popular amongst the people who like to throw down hard.
Yeah.
And need to recover the next day. You can also make mixed drinks with it. I prefer vodka with my Party Aid. I actually like to do a Party Aid with some vodka, like half and half, and then a splash of Fit Aid.
Now, if you drink it with your vodka, do you need it the next day, or are you supplementing there?
I think you're supplementing there.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I don't have all the scientific evidence
one
to
stone
back
type
any
thing.
Of this
yeah.
up.
Yeah, for sure.
We could CTP want a drink of this here?
We could probably find out.
Yeah.
That's got booze in it.
All right, so... you guys, what were we talking about?
We were talking.
You were going to say how we got our asses kicked.
We were going to explain. It's an exhibition match, and East Coast beat West Coast. And I'll be honest, I love the West Coast. I like spending a lot of time there. I identify with the West Coast a lot when I feel like I'm at home when I'm out there. But I was still kind of rooting for East Coast, and I was happy to see that they won. So why did East Coast, and not only that, they won pretty big. What happened?
There's a multitude of things,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, there are.
I think the most obvious would be just the amount of mistakes that we made, both male and female.
Yeah. You know what? I did notice during one of the races, so there's 11 races in a match. One of the races, you guys suffered an injury even,
yeah.
and then you still like tied at the
twice.
End of the race.
Two.
So there was two injuries. Yeah, one of them was you guys were even strong enough to come back and tie,
and we're like,
even
what
though
do,
you had
what do we do?
Someone fall out.
Like, yeah. what do we do? Can we sub? Like,
it was definitely
we
like
don't an, know how the rules work.
It was
yet.
An on the fly move, and there was a little bit of confusion mm-hmm. for about probably 5-10 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. Seconds is gonna make a huge
yeah.
difference.
And the NPFL match, like, yeah, 5 seconds is a lifetime.
It's a lot more like other sports, like in football or basketball. If you make a mistake, you're going to pay a really big price for it. Like in football, you fumble 2 or 3 times a game, you're probably going to fucking lose that game, man. It's a big switch in momentum. Out here, there's so much motion, so much fast-paced action. You make a wrong turn, you don't touch the line, dude, you're going to pay for that big time. Now you're going to work twice as hard to make up the gap.
Yeah. Definitely we want to give a shout-out to Jamie Higuia and, you know, let her know we love her and wish her a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
And after that happened, you know, we have so much love for her and we're such good friends and so close. It was hard to come back after that. I was like, oh, man, I was so shaken up. And I was like, oh, you know, we're in this moment. We have to compete. But then there's a good friend, you know, that's out. And, you know, and you hear about the injury and you're like,
shit,
oh,
this was
man,
supposed
yeah,
to be for
this,
fun.
Yeah, yeah. And then, really real, you know. And it's, I mean, the people were having tears in their eyes and it's like, you know, it's like, what do? And you got to keep moving. But mm-hmm. it's hard to move past something like that. You know, something that big.
I think that says a lot for the beginning of this sport already, and the people involved with it. That we have the type of people that are willing to put their bodies on the line for their teammates, and these are teammates that I had for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Leading up to that, like some of these cats I just met, and I was willing to go out there. And we were willing to put our bodies on the line for points for our teammates.
Yeah,
there's definitely a bond.
That says a lot for what the true team dynamic is going to look like. Mm-hmm. You know, once the real season hits.
Yeah,
and the type of characters that we have involved in this new
definitely,
sport.
Yeah, the bigger picture of the NPFL and everybody that's involved from top down, just everything that good that's happening. You know, it's trickling down to everybody. Mm-hmm.
Profound, man. I was going to think maybe what makes it even more special is that it's so new. It's like a blooming, totally new thing. And you can come together at the last, like I said, 6 hours and bond as a team almost instantly. I'm really curious to see just how this develops. I mean, like, come August, come a year into it, come when there's like 2016, when there's maybe 20, 30 teams, whatever the hell they're going to do. The real effect on that, on you guys' training, on the way you, like on the way the country views fitness, on its impact on local boxes and expands reach, it's going to be this extraordinary thing. Could it's be
gonna,
more fucking excited for this.
It's going to change a lot of lives, dude. It's really, really cool that I think it was Tony just telling a story a couple days ago. He's like, some guy just walked in here, I some sort of sponsorship role, hasn't really had any experience with fitness, CrossFit, whatever you want to kind of call it right now, and saw this really briefly just for like 30, 40 seconds, and, you know, that which can sometimes be a match. Came up and was like, dude, that got me fired up. Like, I want to go work out. This guy that has never had really anything to do with what we're doing right now, and now all of a sudden he's motivated to go try something, you know, new and different, and that may change his life. So
he's gonna
that's
go first,
pretty exciting.
He's going to go home and look up the closest CrossFit box. They kind of learned this. There's a snatch thing. I've never seen that in my life. What's up with that?
It's inspiring. I mean, I think we were actually talking about this the other day, is we get desensitized to transformations. Those of us have been in the industry for a long time. You know, I've been in CrossFit since 2007.
Wow.
You guys have been in sports and fitness for a while. I mean, you guys may be experiencing the same thing. Is I'm used to people having dramatic transformations, like someone like getting to the point where they had type 2 diabetes and now they're a healthy individual on no drugs and
Competing in CrossFit.
And doing CrossFit and doing like smaller competitions and stuff like that. They go from like sick and dying to like one of the most functional human beings on earth.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I take that for granted now. I'm like, oh yeah, good job. And then the problem is I've seen it so many times in my small world, in my little small bubble, that I think that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's cool to see something like this where you do have that outsider that comes in and goes, you can tell they are being inspired to train and stuff
like
that.
Well, it's a lot cooler that that's normal to you than what normal is for a lot of other people.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is a complete...
Just existing. Slow degradation.
Getting by is normal for some people.
Yeah, like, man.
You know, and it's fitness in general. Just people getting up and moving.
Yeah.
And realizing... In putting some fun with it, you know, like something like the NPFL, like, wow, that was exciting. Like, working out can be fun. Like, we can race and have fun, do whatever. You don't have to go to the gym and just do some curls and some bench and stay on the same routine. Like, you
and
go
not
out
talk
there
to anybody.
Exactly. You go out there and have fun and race and, you know, and find new skills.
Yeah, when I was a little
just
kid.
Stuck in routine.
I was a little fat kid in Memphis growing up. I would see Michael Jordan, fucking still my hero. If Michael Jordan walks in right now, I fall to my knees, like, oh fuck, Michael Jordan. But little fat kid grabbing a basketball, had no idea what he was doing, get my dad to get a goal, go out and shoot hoops. I think kids are going to start seeing this kind of shit on TV more and more. Kids who no one in their family lifts, there's no gyms, there's no nothing. Nothing otherwise would trigger them to feel this way. They're going to watch a guy, they're going to see guys rip his shirts off and go at it in this awesome way. And they're going to go, I need to be a part of this. Not even understanding anything other than it's cool, it's flashy. Maybe I could have a future in that.
I'm glad you said that because so much of what kind of makes this professional is unfortunately the money. And a lot of people, like our interview questions this morning, asking us like, hey, you can do it this, you know, in 2 years from now, like, what are you going to do with all this money? What are you going to be able to do with all this? And like, honestly, like the fact that we're going to be able to inspire, potentially inspire, I don't care what age, whether it's the young little fat kid or if it's the 60-year-old man who's never done anything, but the potential for us to be able to inspire people to do something greater than themselves with a group of other people. It's really, really exciting that we're going to get the opportunity to give back to other people in some fashion.
How big of a deal do you think it is that, now this is a sport, and obviously there's a lot different about it. One of the most interesting ways it's different is that on your team, there's a master's component and a opposite gender component. We're all working together on the same field at the same time.
I think this is the first, like, co-ed pro sport.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
It is, and that's one of the questions they asked us in the interview, too. Like, Well, how do you feel about the first professional co-ed sport out there?
It's fucking groundbreaking.
Oh, yeah. It's exciting. It's exciting. We have some amazing women in this sport. You know, amazing on fitness levels and personalities.
Not only as athletes, but coaches.
Yeah.
We have female coaches as well.
Definitely.
Maybe, because that's still a rub with any sport. Like, you watch NBA, go, this is cool.
I don't think it is here, though.
You go, NBA, cool. Ladies basketball, it's built to be segregated and off the side and compared against the standard.
Yeah.
Same with there's baseball and there's softball. Yeah, that's okay, but it's not fucking Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
There's a natural sort of gradient. But here it's like, here's a standard. You guys are badass and strong. These girls are right beside you, equally badass and strong. You know,
you're right.
They're lifting almost I guess some events they're on the same barbell.
Yeah.
I could see this potentially like changing things, like the average woman's perception of what being fit means, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if a woman's been exposed to CrossFit or something like that, they understand that being strong is a big benefit. Mm-hmm. And you can be lean and you can be smaller and still be strong. You know, the fear of getting bulky and all this. And I think that this is going to help transform like people's idea about what being fit is for a woman and being able to see. We're talking to two giant dudes about what this is going to mean to women.
I guess
none of this is blowing my mind right now.
We love our women.
This is what's blowing my mind is we actually care.
Yeah.
And then I think it's going to help change like the perception of people all over the United States, and women are going to like start looking at themselves in a different light, and I think that could be awesome.
Yeah. You dudes definitely are making it happen. Cheers to you.
Yeah. Thank you. I think the world in general is going to be inspired by some of these incredible women, you know, seeing them out there competing, like, wow, like some of these things are possible for women. You know, we get out there and it's like, wow, like I never thought that, you know, someone could do that. And these women are beautiful. They have great bodies and they are out there crushing it
with men.
Yes.
Yeah. And
with men, side by side.
Because, like, you do that in football. Like, if a girl ever tried to play football in high school, it was
people laugh.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
And here is a new professional league where it starts off women being right equal. Well, I mean, look, we still live in a kind of a fucked up place where women still are fighting for equality. Let's not bullshit. You're still going to get paid less for the same fucking job. You're still going to get a hard time from guys in the office going, well, if you assert yourself in a meeting, dude, Sam comes in and says, here's what I think. That Sam's go get her. Girl walks in the office and says, here's what I think we should do. Well, that shit's, she's a bitch. Chris, that kind of shit is still happening, and this is a good way of saying it. There's no difference.
Not in our subculture, though.
Yeah.
That's on display here.
Yeah.
We read about that in newspapers, but we don't experience it in the culture that we live in.
We live in a completely different world.
Yeah.
And there's just so much respect out here. And that's the difference. So much respect for the ladies that are out here doing their thing.
Yeah, in all different tiers. So we have this male category, all right. We have this female category, all right. And then we have this masters category.
Yeah, the age
too. So we can be discriminated just as much for our gender. You know, people are discriminated for their age as well.
Hell yes.
One of the strongest guys out here is a masters athlete.
Yeah.
Steve Playtech.
Yeah.
I think he deadlifted 585.
Yes.
Cleared
it.
And not only is he like one of the strongest guys out here, period, he's one of the oldest. So
salt and pepper hair.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
By the way, what is your favorite event out here? Because mine has to be that fucking deadlift ladder. I wish powerlifting weightlifting would do more of that. It's the most exciting thing I've seen in a long time. Rapid fire attempts up to max.
My favorite things are ladders, you know, and I feel like there's the most excitement there. The crowd is there with you. There's one person there going for one lift, and they're, you know, your back's round and everything's shaking, and everyone's like, yeah, get it, you know? with the cleans, with the snatch, every ladder that you've seen everywhere is going to be the most exciting because the fans are right there riding with you.
Everybody knows race. Everybody knows escalation and difficulty. It's just getting harder and harder. Everybody gets time. These guys are racing. It's a perfect event, man.
It is.
It's very easy to interpret what's happening, even if you have no clue what they're doing.
What's your least favorite event?
My least favorite event is the deadlift ladder.
favorite.
Yeah, at least not yet. And my this guy, you know, we're talking in deadlifts. You know, I'm pretty good at the Olympic lifts. I've been doing them for a bit. My clean's pretty good, but then I compare my clean to my deadlift, and I'm like, man, that deadlift, what's going on
but
back
not,
there?
But there's not the same thing. You're not you're probably not as fast up the ground as you'd like to be.
That's what we talked about yesterday. Yeah. Just they're two completely different style lifts.
Yeah. And people say you train the same way, like, oh, yeah, just do cleans to train your deadlift. Why do speed deadlifts? You don't know what you're talking about. You've never trained the deadlift.
Yeah, when someone says that, I'm like, oh, okay, then let's teach you how to deadlift then.
Have you hung out powerlifters and trained with them, and have you ever gone the way of the – it's not the same thing.
No. They're totally different. So deadlifting, you know, compared to the other ladders would be my least favorite because people would expect me to excel because I happen to be good at the Olympic lifts, and then I get to that deadlift thing and, you know, there's a guy that's, you know, 50 pounds less that's able to do the same. And it's just like, wow, you know, I mean, you got to give it to the other athletes. But then I'm sitting there scratching my head, like, what's going on my backside here? I got to get on Sam's thing, some of those reverse hypers and things. I was kind of picking his brain when we were talking about maybe coaching each other.
Because I'm a little loose in the overhead pressing department.
Sam, yeah. I saw you deadlift yesterday. You had the power lifter deadlift going on.
I was kind of teaching.
You don't see that very much in CrossFit, and sometimes when people do it, they get criticized.
Unfortunately, you don't see it because I think I personally
can't even do it. But
I think it takes a really good coach to be able to break it down. And because it's a pretty dynamic setup.
I do the same. I grip and rip really fucking fast with the ground.
I think it's a lot easier in my mind to teach someone how to Olympic lift than it is in either of them or both of them. We'll say I think it's a lot easier for me to coach someone how to snatch and to clean than it is to teach someone how to deadlift. All right, properly, because CrossFit, we go to our L1. They just teach it. I call it the CrossFit deadlift. It's the same, you know.
Same position.
The same way you deadlift is the same way you would set up for a snatch or a clean.
Right.
Which, in the world of powerlifting, isn't.
On both sides of the fence, weightlifting and powerlifting, it's not right.
Yeah.
All right, nothing's wrong. Nothing's right. Yeah. It's just different.
It's just like in
But the majority of weightlifting coaches would disagree with that setup, and the majority of powerlifting coaches would disagree with
that setup.
Yeah,
it's like the worst of both worlds. It's a melted together sort of
average. It's a hybrid.
It's average.
It's a hybrid. That's why I call it the CrossFit deadlift.
But it's great. It may make you strong as shit, but if you want to peak either one, you got to specialize either way.
And you're going to have to move up your butt up or down.
To my competitors that I talk to, I still bring it up and I talk about it because I think it's important to know how to transfer the area of the body that you're using. So if my ass and my hamstrings start to blow up, I want to know how I can get this sucker maybe into my lower back and my quads.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I can hit a different area of my body that's actually going to respond to my brain right now.
Yeah.
So I think it's still important to have this Olympic style deadlift, to have this power lift, and to have this hybrid CrossFit deadlift in your arsenal. So I'm not gonna write it off and say it's worthless or stupid. It has its place.
Right?
Absolutely, it's a tool that we can use to help develop our skill of getting through something in a more efficient manner.
And for training the average person, the person coming in being introduced to CrossFit for the first time, that's a good place to start.
It is.
That's the place to start. You don't need to start worrying about like special powerlifting or special weightlifting techniques.
I agree with that. And at the same time, I still have another perspective. Something that kind of drives me nuts is PVC pipes.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm not quite heavy enough to teach you how to do anything, right?
Just get a barbell. Like, you need to learn how to have a barbell in your hands. Like, if I'm teaching someone how to throw a football, I don't give them a banana just because it fits better. All right, if you want to learn how to throw a football, I'm going to give you a damn football.
All right,
and if you want to learn how to hold a barbell, I'm going to give you a barbell and not some, I don't know, 12-ounce piece of plastic pipe. I think
the pipe can, it depends on how you teach the movement.
It also depends on which movement, too.
Yeah, different styles of teaching a movement require a lot of reps with something light, something like a PVC pipe. But there's other ways to teach it. There's not just one way to teach the lifts.
Yeah, that's the hard ass in me.
And some of them can be the barbell right off the bat.
We all got to get away from one way. Yeah. To your point about the deadlifts, dude, like, I got experience always being around great weightlifters, like in grad school, training with them. And CrossFit and weightlifting being a part of them, doing the lifts, kind of as an old beat up powerlifter and former football player, learning the right way, kind of getting okay at doing a snatch, improving my flexibility that powerlifting really didn't do a good job, like getting better overhead. Well, everything's good for that. But learning how to get my butt down and deadlift in a clean style was great because I got a history from powerlifting, not from powerlifting, but from football, blowing out lower back discs.
Yeah.
So in powerlifting, I can speed pull all day, every day. It's great. That'll make you strong as shit. Heavy attempts will irritate that if my hips are high. But I can use that clean style deadlift to train the deadlift more often, butt down, drive with the legs, and that still has a transfer. So this idea that you even have to pick one, like use them both with a strategy and, you know, sort of play to one in a competition when something blows up, or if you have a weakness, like for me, if I get my butt down and train my legs, my deadlift with a powerlifting style will go up. I'll get better, especially if I'm coupling that with high hipped speed
pulls.
Like,
I don't know if you guys saw, I always kind of hope sometimes that people will notice a particular style that I'll adopt in a workout. Like yesterday, for instance, in the cluster workout where it was a squat clean to a thruster.
I was watching that.
Yeah.
Did you watch mine?
Well, yours gorilla.
You stood out.
So.
Because the way you did it, I was like.
All right. I
wonder if he's doing that for efficiency or if he's just fucked up.
So I have back to attacking different areas of my body. All right. With that front squat, I'm going to be hitting a lot of quad.
Yeah.
All right. There's really not much around that. Like, it's going to be kind of a more anterior demanding movement. And then with that pull, I'm trying to hit like a powerlifting style glute and hamstring. Mm-hmm. All right. So I don't want to be all quad,
yeah,
which is how a lot of people are if they're doing that CrossFit style or Olympic style pull. And then just blowing up there because I still got these sprints left, I got these jerks left, I got these box
jump overs.
Yeah. So I think it's important to know how to be dynamic like that and how to kind of switch back and forth and play around with your entire body and not just one single.
You got to figure out a bunch of ways to be strong, right? And that's gonna be. You can't just go to your strengths. You can't just go one proven path. You got to figure out all kinds of ways to
That's
move.
What's been great about being with the West Side guys, the Conjugate guys, the Sweatshop people.
Sweatshop's great, man. Big shout out to those guys.
Yeah, Shane and Laura, they've been awesome, and it's taught me how to use, because in CrossFit we talk about we're not going to isolate today. We're going to do compound movements. All right, great. Okay, awesome. But there's something really, really special about isolating a muscle, and what that does.
Fuck yes, there is.
And what that does.
Man, look at this guy's pecs. Of course there is.
And what that does, like neurologically though, like the relationship between your brain and a muscle, it's going to allow you, all right, to understand how to activate that area of your body. So it's funny sometimes, like when I'm coaching a new person, and I'm like, squeeze your ass, and they don't even know where their ass is.
Right? I tell ladies, squeeze your ass or I'll squeeze it for you. Yeah. They're like, oh my God, I got to get this thing squeezed. Yeah.
But
I'm a good coach.
With this Conjugate method and being at the sweatshop and at Conjugate, it's allowed me to be really in tune with, really from head to toe, like know how to isolate damn near every area of my body. Which really has a lot of transfer to.
So not just for bodybuilding.
No.
Yeah.
Not
yeah. I mean,
all.
People say, "Oh, it's bodybuilding shit. That's not functional." Yeah. Name for me, in weightlifting or powerlifting. I'm sure you can find a few, but out of the vast pool of great lifters you know and see, who doesn't do small exercises? Your Klokovs, your Chinese weightlifters, your Ed Cohens, anybody you can name who deadlifts and cleans and snatches big time fucking weight. Among them, who would scoff at side raises? Hamstring curls, knee extensions. Sometimes that's the only group, and those are the ones who maybe don't get what could help them the most,
because it hasn't been preached to us like that, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And what that could, I mean, look at all the damn shoulder injuries we see.
Yeah, we do think they need those movements before doing these compound movements, but everyone gets so jazzed up about, oh yeah, I want to
like,
do my friend.
Hey, because how often do you hear this? Like, oh, I'm not good at squatting. What do I need to do?
Yeah.
Squat more. Oh, bullshit.
Yeah. Well, for if you take the average new person in and they just don't know how to move and they've just never done squats, sometimes doing more squats can be better.
Yeah, we're going to need to create movement patterns.
Now, if they're not, you know, if they're not getting good, like, glute med activation, maybe you need to do some X-band walks and you need to do maybe some single leg work. And there's some things that you can do to help activate that. A lot of times, just doing more, sometimes more squats is the answer, and sometimes it's not. And so I think you just got to, like, a good coach recognizes which one is which.
Which scenario we're in. Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times that new person, they shouldn't be squatting anyway in the first place. You know, they can't get in those right positions.
Sometimes their ankles.
Or be in that position to squat. So they need to work on some single leg stuff to build that strength and flexibility before they're in that position. But unfortunately, they get forced in these classes. All right, guys, we're back squat. And they're on their toes, not going down.
Right. Just like you.
Back's rounding, you know, the chest is between the knees, you know, they got the good morning
keep
at the
at
bottom.
It.
Yeah, you're getting stronger, but, you know, and that's, people get lost in the mix.
Sometimes verbal cues are not enough.
No, and but, that's where coaching comes into play.
Actually, I would say the majority of the time that verbal cues aren't the answer. It's choosing another exercise.
Yeah. You know, and like Sam said, people don't even know their own body. They don't know. They don't know where that's. You're like chest up, and they're like, it's up, right? And then you show them a video, and they're like, oh, I thought it was up.
I tell you, man, if there's two things I can say, I owe my health and anything I achieved in lifting and my strength to. It's the two lessons I learned from Louis, the crazy old fucking man. People love to get on it and say whatever you want. He said two things. One, you got to fucking learn to train optimally. Look at me. I didn't do it for a long time.
Yeah.
I broke myself a lot. This is better. And people will talk shit about that program. So this is for guys using drugs. This is for this. No. It's one of the most sort of easier ways to train if you want to be super strong. You won't get beat up, actually. Number two, so after you train optimally, you learn to fucking get in shape for the right to train.
Yeah.
Like, there's a heavy barbell. Great. Can you drag a sled for fucking 100 feet without gasping for air? Maybe you ought to be able to do that every day as a warm-up before you think you can then go for a max effort attempt or some shit. You know?
And you make a good point. Everybody wants that max effort before putting in the work and doing the volume to get there. And it's like, what's your PR back squat? And people that have never really done the movement are going for that, and they don't realize that you have to put in the volume.
Yeah, if you squat 200 pounds, how are you going to get stronger by just squatting 200 pounds in workout?
Exactly.
The mathematics aren't going to work for you.
Yeah,
you better fucking drag a sled or glute ham or single leg squat, leg press, whatever you can do. Everything you got access to, do it almost every day. Get good for a while, put in the work, and then you'll start seeing this magical thing happen where you start getting fucking stronger.
Yeah, I think people.
Surprise, surprise.
They see PRs too frequently, like every month or every other week. You know, they see back squat PRs. We do a program where we don't max out for a one rep max on back squat or front squat for like 6 months. It's like, it's 6 months before you realize, like,
I've only back squatted.
There are other rep maxes, but you're not going to see the result of all that hard work until, you know, and then they get, you know, 50-100 pound.
Oh, yeah. And that's PR volume.
Or something like that. Yeah, and they need that volume. They don't need the one reps. No.
Like at Conjugate, I think I've been there for about a year now. I think I've only straight bar back squatted like once.
I believe it. Yeah.
So insane.
You do a lot of specialty bars there.
Insane. Well, a lot of specialty bars, and then you got it from a box, and then you got it wide stance, narrow stance, and then you got it with chains, then you got it with bands, and you got it with chain and bands. Then you.
So you're experienced, and you do a lot of variation, play a lot of different things, never test these main lists, but I've seen your front squat. It seems to be fucking working.
Dude,
what's your best front squat for the audience?
The last time I hit was 500, and that was the second time I've hit a front squat in 2 years.
Yeah,
that was the second time I've hit it in 1 year at Conjugate.
What's your 20 rep max back squat?
I want to go for that. I want to hit. So
I watched one on
the 405 by 22 or something like that.
Yeah.
I want to get that for 30.
Fuck. Get a bucket ready.
Oh man,
man.
I won't need a bucket. I'll need a like crash pad.
Oh, yeah, a wheelchair.
I've got five at 405.
That's about
all I can do. I don't know if I can imagine doing. And you know, I think I could grasp maybe 10 reps, but 22 seems like outside of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, for me, 30 cleans at 405 might be easier than 30 back squats at 405. That's just the way I'm built, right? I'm just, you know, clean, do one, those back squats, you know, and that's how Sam and I are a bit different. Like, I could hit the cleans, and so could he, but the back squats for me, you know, he could just pound them out, and it's in the training, and that's, you know, people have to realize that it's in the volume. That's the way he trains, and that, you know, and he's good at that, you know. And if people that were just taking classes, let's say, or doing training could look at that and say, okay, that's how you get there. He doesn't hit the one rep max, you know.
Yeah,
and it's fair to say that
same one every time.
Yeah,
I max out. So you guys know probably, I would assume everyone here knows a little bit or enough about like the West Side and conjugate methods to know that, like, you know, I'm maxing out, you know, with intensity every week.
On something.
On something, yeah.
But not, so you're but always, not the main lift.
So, yeah.
But,
you're always staying tuned and able to exert max effort.
But I'm,
and in a myriad of ways. No matter what they throw at you out of here, you're going to be fine if it's heavy.
Uh-huh. But it's all about this intensity that I'm applying this incredible amounts of intensity to something that it's really, really cool because although it's still a really, really intense lift, there's not much weight involved because when you got bands pulling you from the front and you got chains building up from the ground and you're deloading on a box, like, it doesn't take a ton of weight
That's
on your
a good
body.
Point, man.
Like, so you're not compressing your spine as much, but you're fighting hard for this rep. So you're still getting this incredible hormetic effect that's allowing you to, it's allowing you to develop at a really high rate because we're getting these new intensities every week. Because we have a different box height, we have a different specialty bar, we have different bands, we have different chains. So
people may be focusing on, this is cool, I need to use that. But that right there is actually the method. It's novel, it's fun, you're going to squat harder, you're going to beat yourself up less. There's always variation, there's always a new way to get stronger.
Yeah.
I think what you see is that's not unique. You can see guys like, I always say Klokov, because fuck, Klokov's the best, man.
Mm-hmm.
But you see him do, like, pick up 400 pounds and pause it mid-thigh.
Yeah.
And everybody goes, oh, what's he going to do with that? And then he snatches it.
Snatch it, yeah.
I go,
yeah,
holy
yeah,
shit,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
amazing. But then I talked to Justin Thacker about it, who's an amazing weightlifting coach in St. Louis. Big shout-out to Justin Thacker. We were talking about it one day. He's like, you know what? Probably why he does that is he's so fucking strong. If he just snatches, the work goes up a lot. He's going to use a lot more weight. He'll tear himself down a lot quicker.
Yep.
So he's doing a max and a snatch every time you see him post on Instagram. But that max is a carefully selected max, novel. It's not going to beat him up that much.
Trying to make it more difficult without making it harder on your body.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole fucking key, man.
Danny, being from the OPT camp, I know that there's a lot of tempo work there. Is that something that, I mean, you use to get stronger, or you guys... Have you played around with a lot of other stuff too?
You know, for me, I haven't used it as much because because of CrossFit, they're trying to dampen me and make me more aerobic.
So doing the tempo work is like a way to dampen that fast twitch a little bit.
No. So I haven't really, like, I never go heavy on the squats. I never go heavy on the cleans. I never really do anything heavy. When you see me do something heavy, like I did a 405 power clean, a few months back, it was because we were coming into regionals and thought there were cleans.
Yeah,
I don't get the opportunity to go heavy because they're trying to dampen me for the sport of CrossFit because I'm too powerful. So that's what's exciting about the NPFL. I actually get to lift weights now. I've been like, oh no. Like they give me little tastes of it. Like I'll go, you know, do some back squats at tempo. 2-0-X-1, which is, you know, 2 seconds on the eccentric, 0 at the bottom, explode up, 1 at the top. It's pretty, it's a normal tempo for most people.
I'd love to see what they do targeting this now. Like, let's take what we've learned from this amazing experiment CrossFit. I mean, James had a hell of a successful streak.
Yeah.
Well-respected coach, amazing, we love him. I want to see what he would do if he could focus on this a little bit.
Idea. We're about to see.
Let me tell you.
I'm fucking curious,
I've
man.
Been doing some snatch pulls, and I haven't done snatch pulls in about 3 years. So I'm excited. I've been sore from some snatch pulls. Just I'm really excited about where this is going to go for me because it's what I love. It's my essence. You know, it's who I am.
Yeah.
I'm not built to be long and you know.
Do it again. And look at this guy's double bicep.
Oh yeah,
nice.
Do you think
about to be aerobic?
Do you think you have bigger biceps?
Oh
Jesus!
Oh my
compare.
God.
I think Danny
I'm
wins.
I'm actually worried because this wristband is so tight. If I go for the full flex, it's gonna pop off, and I might not be able to get back in. Yeah.
So like,
oh, yeah.
It's a real concern.
When I saw Danny, I was like, good God, like he's huge. I thought we were gonna be about the same size.
Yeah.
And then he tells me his weight, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm 240," and I'm like, "Oh, like that's quite a bit bigger than me."
How big are you?
I'm like I bounce around between 215 and 220.
Oh wow!
But then we took a picture yesterday, and I think the only difference is I'm tanner.
Yeah, it's like I got big guts.
Well, you know, tan being tan adds muscle mass and removes fat. visually.
So we're going to go out to the pool after this so he can...
Tan fat is...
I'm getting my tan on. I need to get some more vitamin D. I've been taking it via the pill. I'm going to go out and get that sun on.
Well done, dude.
Yeah. I think you're going to get some tan on you and then you'll look bigger probably.
Or burn, whatever you want to call it.
Or melanoma, whatever.
Yeah, but that, you know, like Sam was saying, like when I look at Sam, I'm like, oh yeah, we're about the same size, you know, and I've made that comment to other people, like, oh man, that guy's big. And then friends are like, no, you're huge. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, people are just like, oh, that guy's about my size. They're like, no. You haven't seen yourself on the live stream. Like, you're huge. And they, you know, the announcers at the regionals actually made comment, like, this guy's out here. And I don't realize it because it's me, you know, and it's...
Right.
I see myself all the time. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm 245 and... This kind of where it's at. I'm like, I got big abs
too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I got the big abs, you know? And I'm like, I got big guts though. You know, I think I got big insides. That's what makes me bigger. You
my
know?
Mom always thought I was like the biggest guy in the world until I brought some of my football buddies home.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She's like, oh shit.
Oh,
yeah. So you're not that big.
No.
There's bigger people.
Between
like being around strongman meets and like college football, I realized, oh, big doesn't mean like anything. Like, I play the football with a guy. Like the whole starting offensive line was at least the shortest guy was 6'3". Biggest guy was 6'8", like 370. Like, what ran his conditioning drills with the linebackers.
Yeah.
You see something like that, you're like, well, fuck, everything I knew is different now.
Yeah.
To your guys' knowledge, is there anyone bigger than Danny that qualified for regionals?
This year?
Yeah.
No. I'd say the biggest CrossFitter I've shaken hands with was John Wellborn. Like,
Well, John's just a monster man.
Yeah. And so that guy's just...
So I might have the record as biggest CrossFit
regionally qualified.
John may be a guy.
Can we get someone on that?
So
Can we check that out?
There's somebody out there that trust me.
Yeah.
There are people out there that follow all the stats.
We're
gonna
need an official weigh-in though.
So you weigh what?
About 245.
245. So that stat exists. They can download that off the game site or something like that.
In all fairness to John, I would say he was a professional football player who retired, got involved in CrossFit, had fun doing it. I don't know if I would have called him a CrossFitter.
Well, he did compete in the CrossFit games early on, when it was a little bit easier to get in.
2008 or so, and he did pretty good. I mean, astonishingly well, considering that was not his wheelhouse.
It was
I mean.
2007 and 2008.
That's why, you know, in my coach, you got to definitely have to give it to James Fitzgerald, who competed, you know, in the first, and now he's back. You know, he's back, and he's made as a master's athlete. I'm really excited to watch him
First year
compete.
Games athlete champion. Now he's going to come to NPFL. Maybe maybe you guys will win the first, whatever we'll call it. Yeah. I don't think we've named the championship yet.
Yeah.
What would you like to see the trophy be at the end of the championship thing? What should it look like? Yeah. Should be a chrome bottle of Jack Daniels.
I'll tell you what, one of the coolest like prizes I've ever gotten for a competition was a demon kettlebell they painted it gold.
Oh, the demon bell.
And a bottle of Jameson.
And you wonder why we're dangerous together outside the grid.
And that was the first competition I did with my wife too. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, cool, man.
Wow. All right, guys, we're gonna wrap this up. If people want to learn more about you, Danny, we'll let you go first. Is there a website they should check out? Do you have a Twitter handle?
I probably got a Twitter that I set up a long time ago. I don't even...
You should do it now, man. People start paying attention to you.
I don't even know it. It's maybe the Danny Nichols. I think... Yeah. I don't even know. I got to get... and that's, you know, something that Sam's going to help me with, I think.
You got to...
Tweet at us when you finally figure it out, and we'll retweet you.
Yeah. I think my Instagram is Danny Nichols 33, but it's... So I don't even know.
This guy a catchy nickname, like
you do have a catchy
Tiny
nickname.
Tiny D.
Tiny,
that's Sammy D. Sam.
Where can we find you, Sam?
Just Sam Dancer on the Facebook and at Sam Dancing on Instagram, and that's kind of where I hang out at is the Instagram. I think it's a great way to just
Instagram
kinda,
is the shit.
Great way to kind of keep in touch with all the friends, family, and fans.
I think it's a super good way to share like training videos and coaching advice too, right? Mm-hmm. Surprisingly good at that.
Yeah,
And I think Sam and I are gonna have to get our Instagram, a shared Instagram together.
I want to see Instagram shit talking back. What the fuck I did today, homie?
Yeah.
What are we gonna call that?
I don't know.
Just probably Tiny Dan.
Tiny D.
Tiny D.
It's Instagram bro down.
Yeah. Should be
2Ds. Yeah. 2Ds, double Ds.
Yeah. Tiny double Ds.
Oh, shit.
All right. Yeah.
Well, thanks for having us, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. Thanks, definitely.
Make sure to go to barbellshrug.com, sign up for the newsletter, and we'll send you only amazing emails.
Cheers.
Yeah.